Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Okay, well, my name is Pastor Michelle Villanueva, and I'm one of the youth pastors here with my husband. Thank you. Okay, and we get to pastor your teenagers, which we've been doing. I've been in youth ministry for, you know, I preached my first sermon when I was 16 years old, so 20 years, and that's a long time to be doing God's work, but I love it, and we love your kids, and I love the women's ministry, and I've been involved with women's ministry ever since I was in my early 20s, and God loves his girls. So I'm glad that you're here. Today, like I said, I'm gonna teach, but I'm also gonna preach. So that means that, girls, you get to be excited this morning. You can say amen. You can say preach it, girl. You know, you can say come on. Do whatever you feel, because I feel like the Holy Spirit is ready just to build you up, because you're gonna leave stronger this morning. You're going to leave empowered this morning. You know, girls are beautiful and girls are smart, but girls are strong. And today we're going to talk about that strength. And we have a men's conference tomorrow, so I figure it's only proper that we get a little rowdy up in here too, okay, before the guys do. And we can do that type of stuff. It's kind of an athletic message. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you penned it. I thank you, Lord God, that it is your spoken word. And God, we get to open it up and learn from you. So Holy Spirit, wear me well. Thank you, God, for using me. God, I thank you for every woman, Lord God, in this room, that you'd open up their ears to hear. God, open up their heart to receive the word that you have this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, turn to Ephesians 4, and we are finishing up a thought that we have been working on for a few weeks. If you don't know, we like to preach line upon line, precept upon precept, and so we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter number 4. We've been there for over a year, but that's how we do it, okay? I don't know about anybody else, but is your Bible just so marked up? You're just thinking, can I even add one more little note in here? But in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 16, and didn't Pastor Tracy do an awesome job last week? I loved it. It was so good. And I loved your apostle. I went home and told my husband about it. But it was such a good point. And we're going to talk more about this. But in Ephesians 4, we're going to go ahead and look at just the ending of verse 15, because I think it's one solid thought. And we're wrapping up a thought about you. See, in Ephesians, we've been talking about how grand God is, how huge he is, how he's included you into the body. And now he's talking about how he's given pastors and apostles and preachers and teachers to go ahead and go forth and build up the body of Christ, which is you. Everybody say, that's me. You're the body of Christ, and he's building you up to do the work of the ministry. So today, I want to just wrap up this thought and just to encourage you about the strength that you have, because you're a part of the body of Christ. But it says this in the New Living Translation in Ephesians 4, verse number 15 at the very end. It says, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, which is the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Christ is the head and we are the body. And this is kind of a new concept. In fact, it's not even mentioned anywhere in Old Testament, because when Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again from the grave, he said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. And that's you and I. And so Paul begins to paint this picture that he mentions just a, you know, handful of times in the New Testament. And we're going to study it today. And we're going to break it down. And we're just about going to look at every verse that talks about this. Are you girls ready for a Bible study? Right? You didn't come for a snack, did you? Nobody came for a snack, because we're going to have a full meal this morning. All right? It's brunch time. Okay. I love how the King James Version says it too. It says, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want to talk about your purpose in the body.
because every joint and every muscle does its share. And you may be thinking to yourself, here I am, a part of this mega church. Am I really that important? Am I really needed? Girl, you are needed. You are needed. Don't be fooled that you can hide in the seats and get away from the purpose of God, because we're going to find out later on that your purpose is all up in your mix of your every single day life. And every joint supplies. You know, we're going to break down this verse with the points, but I want to tell you about this fancy little necklace I got. It's a little metal, and the only way I got it was by running 13 miles 10 days ago. So, you know, I don't get to show off much jewelry, but I thought this was kind of worth showing off. But I did the run through Redlands, and it was about 10 or 11 days ago, and I woke up early. It was cold. I went with my friend who, you know, we run together, we work out together, and she's just this cute little fit little Danish blonde girl, and she's like, come on, Michelle, we're going to go run, you know, and she has this thick accent. I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm going to run right with you. I'm like, you are? She's like, yeah, I'm not going to leave you. I'm like, you know, you can go faster than me. And she's like, no, I'm doing this for you. So she ran with me, and it took me 2 hours and 44 minutes, so I wasn't the fastest girl on the track, but I'm lapping everyone on the couch. Amen? Okay. And so we ran, and Redlands Marathon, half marathon, is one of the hardest ones because there's so many hills. I mean, there's just hills after hills after hills. And I will tell you, every joint and every muscle was supplied that morning. I needed it all. I needed my core to be strengthened. I needed my calves to be strengthened. I needed my mind to not melt down, to keep on going. I needed everything to supply to get across that finish line. And it's the same thing with you in the church. And we can talk about the church just here in these walls, but I also want you to remember that the church is worldwide. It's global. It's everywhere. We are connected together with Christians all over this planet. Everybody's supplying. Everybody's supplying from all over the world, building each other up. But everything was needed that morning. So number one, as we're going through this verse, I'm just going to pull my points right from the verse. But number one is this: every joint supplies. Your purpose. See, I'm not going to teach you a how-to message this morning. I'm going to teach you who you are. You have purpose. There is a purpose inside of you that no one can take away. Can we go ahead and pass out those papers if you girls didn't get them already? I'm going to have you girls, and if you have your phone, you can use your phone, but I'm going to have you write down the top five things that you do the most of. We're going to dig deep into our purpose this morning, because it's easy for somebody to say, well, I don't hold a microphone and I don't have a PhD and there's no, you know, letters in front of my name. So where's my purpose, Pastor Michelle? You don't know what street I came from. You don't know what neighborhood I come out of. And you can tell me that I have a purpose, but I want you to tell yourself. I want you to dig deep and realize that you have a purpose. So as the girls are passing that out, just raise your hand if you want a paper, if you want to use your phone, and we're just going to do a little exercise because we're getting a little athletic this morning, right? And I want you to write down your top five things that you do the most and why. And just to get, you know, your thinker thinking, we have a little soundtrack to to go with this. So just go ahead and start jotting it down. Exactly. Cleaning. I feed my family a lot. Like, I feel like I'm always in the kitchen. Like, are you always hungry? Like, that type of stuff. That's what I'm talking about. You do the most of. All right? You do the most of it. There you go. Okay, did you get all five? Did you get three? Did you get one, girl? You do something all day. Like, I would definitely say, like, I feed my family. I do a lot of driving like that. Like, any taxi moms in here? All right, maybe you've gone out. Maybe you watch the grandkids. Maybe you work a lot. Okay, all that type of stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now I want you to write the five most important things you do. Important, like only you can do them. Like no one else can do that. No one else can be a mom to your kids, right? No one else can be a wife to your husband. Amen, hallelujah. Don't even look at him. Okay, no. Okay, like no one can do that. So write the top five. If you don't have five, then do three. You know, and think about the things that you do. Your roles that only you can do, and why do you do them? Why do you do them? Maybe it's things that you do here in the church. Maybe you serve as a small group leader or things like that. And now, last thing. Do you need more time? Okay. Write the five people you serve in your life. The five people that you serve in your life. Is that a boss? Is that maybe a parent? You know, maybe you help take care of an elderly parent. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your kids. So just write all that stuff down. You should have a pretty decent list going on. You should have some things in your life that you're realizing, wow, I got a lot of important stuff that I do that only I can do. We can stop the spiritual organ in the background. Okay, sound guy, you can cut it. All right. Okay, now I'll be preaching. All right. But your purpose is wrapped up into all those things. All those items, your purpose is there. So if you're searching for purpose, it's right in front of you. It's at your fingertips. It's that child who doesn't sleep at night and you're so exhausted and you're still so tired and they just need you because only mama has that comforting feel and you're training them to sleep alone, right? That purpose is in you. My daughter just went on an overnight school trip. That's a big deal, you guys. She's 10 years old. I was like, an overnight, wait, the school does what? There's an overnight trip. So early in the school year, I emailed the teacher. I said, so about how many kids, you know, stay home from this trip? Like thinking Bella can just stay home with those kids, right? She doesn't need to go on an overnight trip. And she said, well, I've been doing about 6 years and probably three or four students have stayed home because of sickness. I said, okay, she's going. All right. And then it was going to snow with the buses going up to the mountains this last Monday. And so I was all worried about it. I'm like, okay, is the bus going to have chains? Like, what's happening? I was about ready to email the teacher, and Bella, on her own accord, told the teacher, my mom doesn't trust the bus driver. She said she's going to follow the bus up. I'm like, you told your teacher what? And she said, tell your mom she can't do that, okay? And so, but she did really well, but only mama could take her out, you know, the week before, and we got our nails done, and we had a mommy-daughter date, and I was building into her life and filling her up and just kind of telling her, and if this happens, do this. And you know you're different, right, Bella? You're not like all the other kids. God has a call on your life. And I wanted to build up. See, mama, only you can do that. You know, wife, only you can be that support to your husband, that love and comfort to your husband, even that push to your husband because you know he has more inside of him. That's your purpose. So now you may be looking at your list and think, I don't like all this stuff. I don't want this to be my purpose. Then change your life. It's that easy. Then find some new purpose. Find some new purpose. Start digging into God and say, God, what do you have for me? Because I feel a little stale. I feel a little mediocre. I feel a little stuck in my walk with you, and I want to be pushed. Maybe you've got to go back to school. Maybe you've got to start your own small group with the Rock Church girls and start ministering and mentoring to other women. Find your purpose and love it and live in it. In Colossians 3:23, it says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. In all you do serve Christ. Your job is to bring Jesus to all those areas. Your list is to bring Jesus to all those little points. And you can do it. That's your purpose. That's the joint that supplies. If everyone was only somebody with a microphone, then we would have one very strong mouth, right? But we wouldn't be walking anywhere because you're the feet of Jesus, because you're the hands of Jesus, because we'd be reaching other people only with you. only with you. So your purpose is very important. You're a full-time minister. You are a full-time minister, and that's your ministry. So when we say, where are my full-time ministers at? Everybody say, whoa. Where are my full-time ministers at? That's you. That's who you are. It's inside of you. Don't let the devil trick you in devaluing your role as grandma. Don't let the devil trick you in devaluing your role as mommy. Okay, or your position at your job to be an influence to others. Yes, the girls who gossip. Yes, the people who get on your nerves. You don't devalue that, and don't let the devil devalue it either. You have a place in the body. I remember in my high school years, I was about ninth grade, and I just used to get into some trouble. So your pastor has been arrested maybe once or twice. Okay. And I was just, I mean, talk about, you know, if you're stressed out about your ninth grade is really hard, okay? And you make a lot of dumb decisions, and the brain is not done developing. And I remember I got caught stealing with my friend, and my friend's mom took us to, of all places, Walmart, which is as if, maybe that's my deep-rooted root of Walmart. That's probably why I don't like going there. We got arrested, we got caught, and it was an undercover guy, and he caught us, and I was with my friend who was a very godly woman. She brought me to this church. If it wasn't for her, I don't think I'd be in ministry today. Like, she's just amazing, but we were just 14-year-old knuckleheads, and we got caught, and I was so embarrassed because, well, first of all, I was in handcuffs, and I saw someone else from the church, and they're waving at me in handcuffs, and I'm like, I can't wave at you! Like, stop! And then when we finally got, you know, out of the police station, she says, I'm taking you to Tia's house. I was like, Tia? Not Tia! Like, and this is not my aunt. This is their aunt. And I know enough about Tia that I don't want to go to Tia's house because she's a godly woman. Okay? And we were on our way to Tia's house, and my mom was going to pick me up there, and I was just so embarrassed because she was just such a godly woman, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm cringing. This is punishment enough. You know, I don't want to see her. But she had such an impact in my life. And me being around her, you know, after church on Sundays and just her influencing my life by just loving me. You know, she didn't influence my life because of her position in the church. She influenced my life because of her position in Christ. In Christ. And that's you. That's you. They didn't drag me to a pastor's house, okay? They didn't drag me to a doctor's house. They dragged me to somebody's aunt's house. You're somebody's influence in that life. And because of that, I had the fear of God inside me because I knew that she was with God. Now, did her position in church, being a you know, prayer group leader and being a godly woman in church, strengthen that? Absolutely. Absolutely. It just reinforced it. But by her being that joint, that supply, just being somebody's aunt, you know, you look in the Bible and you look at Grandma Eunice, who raised up Pastor Timothy in the book of Timothy. That was a grandmother who raised him up in the word of God. All the grandmas say amen. Amen. Lydia was a businesswoman, a rich businesswoman who opened her home, one of the first people to get saved and opened her home in the New Testament. And people came in and began to hear the gospel. Okay, all you girls in the workplace, you have influence. You're a joint that supplies. Priscilla opened her home for small groups. Mary raised Jesus. Jesus needed a mother to raise a godly man, the Son of God. No pressure, right? So don't let anybody, even yourself, devalue your purpose in the body. Number two, every part does its share. You have the right to be here. You have the right to be here. When I lined up for this race, I'm with my friend, and she has her friend, and her friend's going to go way past us because she's running for time. And so everyone's stretching, you know, you're kind of warming up, doing your thing, and you start to look, and I'm wearing the T-shirt that they give out for free. I'm like, isn't everybody? I'm like, what? No one's wearing the T-shirt. Why am I the only one wearing the T-shirt? Why are all these people not wearing the T-shirt? Okay? And you start to look at the person over here and the guy over here, and you think, am I even fit to be here? I'm not the fittest one right here. Okay? But you begin to question yourself. And I want to reassure you tonight that just because of your past, or this morning, just because of your past or things that you've done, you still belong here. Because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, you belong here. And you may have a past that makes you shudder. You're just like, ugh, you know? And you may think, oh my goodness, I don't even deserve to be here. Girl, you may be the baddest girl here. You may be the strongest one in the body at this moment. And that strength is going to propel the church because you have something to offer. You have something to offer. Now, I wasn't the fittest one there, but maybe I was a little bit stronger to carry this body 13 miles than the toothpick that was running next to me. Okay? No offense to the toothpicks. Jesus loves you. Okay? Took a little bit more strength, I think. But 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, this is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners. And I am the worst of them all. This is what Paul's saying. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great influence with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and they can receive eternal life. I'm not here because I earned it. I'm not here because I lived a perfect life, but I'm here as a miracle and a testimony of what God can do. And that's the joint that you supply. That's the muscle that gives and does its share in the body. See, if you're saved and born again, you belong to the body. You know what's so crazy is God used the Old Testament, you know, the people. He had his chosen people. It was very select. It was like, this is who they're going to be. We're not going to be with any other outsiders. I'm going to protect God's people. It's going to be very secluded, and it's going to be really important that you all just stay together. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and he starts kind of giving a shadow of what's to come because he starts hanging out with the misfits. And he starts hanging out with the people that nobody really wants to talk to. In fact, he even starts talking to the Samaritan people and people who are just a little bit different than what the Pharisees are used to. And then Jesus dies on the cross. He's raised from the dead. And in Mark, he just blows everything out of the water. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And there was no longer this seclusion. And I can't help but think what heaven was doing. What heaven was doing, think about the angels, and there's no time in heaven, right? And they're just waiting for the moment of when the Gentiles, which is you and I, anybody who's not Jewish, God's chosen people, when the Gentiles are allowed to operate in the body of Christ. And I'm sure when the people started to get saved in Acts and all the Gentiles started to come into the kingdom of God, I'm sure the angels were like, yes, yes, this part of the body that lay dormant, this part of the body that didn't work, we were missing something, we were missing someone. And there began to be this move in the body of Christ, and it was probably electric. It probably was so amazing. And that's what you are when you get saved, that angels rejoice at the salvation of one person. So your part, as you do your share, it helps the body so much. God has grafted us in. It's hard to ignore what great lengths God did to graft us in. It's hard to ignore that when you look at God Almighty, big G God, right? That's what Pastor Jim says. And then you look at little G gods, right? The idols in the Old Testament and things like that. All those things were so selfish. It was always about, you know, them just coming to give something and to do something for these little G gods and human sacrifice, right? That was like a thing. And then God, big G God, almighty God, stepped down from heaven and became a human and sacrificed himself for us so that we could be included into the body of Christ. Oh, don't you want to support it so much more? Don't you feel stronger that your portion helps propel this message? Because people haven't heard this message. They haven't heard it. I have so many verses, too many, but in Ephesians 5:22, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You could read it on your own, but it just talks about the love of how Christ looks at the church. He looks at the church like a husband and a wife. Do you remember when you first met your husband and you just couldn't stop looking at him? I mean, you just adored him. And that's how Christ looks at the church. He looks at you and I. And it says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And he gave up his life for her. And you can read on and on about it. It's not a chauvinistic passage in the Bible. It's a passage about love and sacrifice, that I'm going to protect you, that I'm going to take care of you, that I'm going to nourish you, and I'm going to build you up because I love you so much. It says that who would ever neglect their body, but somebody who loves their body would nourish it. And that's what he does to us as the church. He has the ability to give you the ability to do your share, to do your part. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, and I'm just going to breeze through this, but in these verses, Paul's writing, and he's talking about the body again. And you know, people are fighting over things, and they're saying, well, you know, can't I do this, and can't they do that? And so then Paul begins to break it down, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, but that you know, or excuse me, no, verse number 4, skip that. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works in it all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. We all need each other. And then he goes on to talk about, in verse number 12, for as many as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So through the Spirit, we are all members of that body. Now, I want to skip down to the verse where he starts saying, verse number 16, let's have that up on the overhead. And if the ear says I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? No, because we all need each other. Next verse. For if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? See, all of us have something to offer. All of us need to do our share. All of us need to work together. That's why we're a multicultural and a multi-generational church. We need each other. That's what heaven's going to look like. Right? That's what our city looks like. And that's what we want to be, to support each other. You know, I just recently started serving more in youth ministry. I was really here for a few years with women's ministry. I've gone back to youth, and it's just like a different ball game. Like, those of you who had teenagers, you already knew this, right? But they've just changed so much, you know? And so it's just funny. I'm having to restudy it all. We're going to conferences. I'm doing all these podcasts. I don't know what's cool anymore. The Jonas Brothers are back. I don't know what to think. Like, it's just like, what's happening? Okay? And I realized that, at least for me, and I think the girls need to get in the house praying for the next generation, because we need it. And I heard just a disturbing statistic that 59% of church-going millennials, 59% have now walked away from church. So they haven't walked away from the faith, they've walked away from church, right? And we can get really angry, and I'm sure all of you have a 10-point sermon on why they did that, right? I know, but we need to pray. Because, girlfriend, that's our kneecaps. We need our kneecaps to move forward in the kingdom of God. And we need to pray for a move of God in this next generation, in the millennials. We need to pray that there's ways to win. It's just like the church gathered together 20 years ago. And we said, we're going to serve beans and rice to those who need it. And we're going to go to the poor. And even though they may not appreciate it, they may not love it, I don't care, because Jesus loves it. I believe that's the next wave of ministry that's going to happen with the millennials, because we need to love them and to reach them. So girls, will you get in your prayer closets with me? Will you get in your prayer closets and begin to pray with me for this next generation? Because every part does its share, and we need them in the body of Christ. Number 3, causes. So what happens with your purpose in the body of Christ? It causes growth of the body, and strength is developed. On mile 8 of my run, that's when things start to get a little painful. you start to just feel like, is there like a, you know, something going on with my knee, or is there, you know, I'm tired. Where's the Gatorade? Do those Boy Scouts have the Gatorade yet? You know, and you just start to get really tired, and there's still 5 miles to go. And the worst one is the last mile, the 13th mile, and it's just this long run down Olive Avenue, and you're just like, could it be any interesting at all? And last year, I did the same run last year, and that's where I began to feel like nauseous, right? Like, I didn't, you know, lose it or anything, but, and I just have those memories, like, ugh, I just don't want to do it. And that's why my friend's like, come on, Michelle, we're going to do it. I'm like, ah, okay, if you want to do it, I'll do this with you. Thank you for the good peer pressure. But that's when things start to just wear on you, and you can feel like you want to give up, right? And I was really inspired by this guy who was in the Navy SEALs, and he tried out. He went through Hell Week and all this stuff. He ended up failing it. And because of that failure, he ended up just trying to take, he took a job as an exterminator. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he worked the night shift. He was an exterminator. He would get this huge milkshake on the way home. He'd eat a whole box of donuts, and he ended up gaining like 100 pounds. So he went from Hell Week in the Navy SEALs training to, you know, gaining 100 pounds. And he was just so frustrated. And he just kind of had this moment where he thought, I'm just going to change this. I just need to change this. And he ended up being the only person in history who has survived 3 Hell Weeks. And he ended up making it to the Navy SEALs and some other arms of the military. And he's super duper fit. And he said that he had this thought that he would get to heaven and God would say, you know, here's your chart. He explains it like this. Here's your chart. You know, you're 185 pounds and you're fit and you're in all these military branches and you're married and you're happy. And he says, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm an exterminator. You know, I'm 100 pounds overweight. And he said, no, that was going to be you. And that just dug into him. And he thought, what if I would not have dug deeper? What if I would not have built up my strength, because he was afraid of suffering? And that was his thing, that he would not be afraid of the suffering. He would confront the suffering. And see, many of us will turn around. Maybe at mile 8, it would have been easy just to turn around and just quit. Nobody was making me do the race. Nobody was making sure that I finished. I wasn't going to lose anything, you know, but I kept going, because you got to embrace the suffering, because in that suffering, there is strength being built up. Muscles are only made by breaking the muscle and then it repairing itself again. You know, when I was talking about, you know, running, some of you were like, ooh, that sounds like it hurts. You ever see people do those CrossFit things? You're like, ooh, looks like it hurts. But you do that. That's good for you, right? And there's going to be people on the sidelines who are going to look at your life and they say, ah, that looks like it hurts. Oh, you tithe 10%. Ooh, I can never do that. That looks like it hurts, you know? But they don't know what's going on underneath the skin. They don't know what muscle is developing underneath the skin. And they're not going to see it for a year or a few months. But girlfriend, one day you're going to flex and people will be looking. People will be looking. And they'll say, I wish I had some muscles like her. And you're going to have to, you're going to have to do some strength. You're going to embrace the suffering. Maybe they say, well, oh, you serve in ministry. Yeah, I don't have time for that. That looks like it hurts. I just can't do that. But you are becoming a leader. Maybe they hear that you are called to love other people and love your enemy. And they say, oh, I just couldn't do that. It hurts too much. It hurts too much. But yeah, goodness and mercy is following your life. Goodness and mercy is following you life. I remember I have 3 kids. My last one is a pistol. I mean, oh my goodness, pray for me. She's only 5. And by the time she was 4, she's broke 2 of our TVs. And she was little. One of them was a flute. And then it just went flying through the air and just spiderwebbed our TV. And then the second one was a drumstick. So she is no longer allowed to play with long tubular things, okay? And we also raised our TV up. But after the second one, I was like, you don't get any TV. We're not having TV in our house. And we didn't have TV in our house till Christmas when they got a TV. I said, that's your present. Enjoy it, all right? And we lived without a TV. And some of you may think, oh, that sounds like it hurts. I love my Netflix. I'm working a muscle in my kids. I'm teaching them discipline. I'm teaching them to respect what they have. I'm working a muscle. You know, those of you in relationships, you're not having sex outside of marriage till you get married. People are like, oh, I can never do that. Sounds like it hurts, right? Watching from the sidelines. But you're working a muscle of self-control. That's going to pay off in your marriage. That's going to pay off in trust. That's going to pay off of you not having to do damage control on your heart. You're flexing those muscles. You're working those muscles. Last month we went on a trip to Big Bear, and we're driving in the snow, and we're not very snow people. Like, we're beach people, okay? There's a difference, okay? And so I'm following, do you guys use the Waze app? It's an app that you can see what's the fastest way to get somewhere. And so I'm using the Waze app, and Waze, I don't think, does very good in the mountains because we are 0.8 miles away from our cabin, and Waze takes us down this back road that's just going to lead us right to our cabin. Well, that back road hadn't been plowed. Okay, so there, and we didn't have our chains on because everything else had been plowed. And so there was a little bit of black ice. Not too bad, except that the person in front of us stepped on their brakes to look at their phone, right? And so, again, we are like 0.8 miles away from our cabin, and in a split second, my husband just did a good job. You know, we have all the kids. We have all the food for the whole weekend because we're going to be healthy. We're not eating out, right? And and then we just veer off, and we are driving, and we hit snow. And then I'm like, there's a house. And he is just like pounding on the brake, and we stop in the middle of somebody's front yard, okay? And so we're in the middle. I don't know if we have a picture. My husband took some pictures of it, but there's our car, and we're in the middle. Like, that's the house I was like seeing very close as I was the passenger and the seat. And so we're like, okay, I hope we get out of this. Do we have the next picture? My husband's digging up snow. There's no reception. We're trying to put our chains on. We've now dug like a 2-foot hole deep hole into the ground of this person's home, their cabin, and my kids are cold, and I can't call my family, and it's just weird, right? And so then the neighbors start helping us, and then finally my family comes, and we're like, okay, we're gonna get out of here, and our tire had popped, right? So in the meanwhile, do you ever like plan a vacation? You're like, this is gonna be a cheap vacation. And you're like, this fits right in my budget. I'm doing good. And then the tire pops, okay? And so we end up calling AAA and everything goes okay. But I just had this little mental meltdown. And it felt like for a year and a half, Richard and I have been working this plan. We've been getting out of debt. We've paid off all our debt. And then we're working on this thing of 3 months of income that you save, right? If something were to happen, you save 3 months of income, right? And it just felt so far. And I was just getting farther and farther away. And then the tire just about did it. I'm like, we're never gonna get this. Everybody's teeth are falling out in our family. Someone's on these braces. Like, I don't know if that's how you guys feel. And so I was just so frustrated, you know, and this was the other thing that frustrated me. And then not even a month later, we've done our taxes and it just worked in our favor. And we're now finally at that point where we have that savings I've been just striving for. Like, we finally arrived. And you may be thinking, Pastor Michelle, she's flexing now. Look at that muscle, right? Girl, this has been 2 years in the making. You may see someone's muscle now, but you don't know what they've been through. You don't know the sacrifices, the penny pinching, the times we didn't go out to eat, when we ate beans, rice, and thank Jesus Christ for it, right? And that was, we were just saving that money and trying to get where we need to get. And that strength, that suffering, don't run away from it, because eventually that muscle's going to build. Embrace it. Embrace it. In Romans 5:3, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strength, our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So girls, We can start flexing, and people may look at your life and they may look on the sidelines and be like, her kids are so good. How come her kids are so good? My kids aren't this good. But she's been disciplining her kids since they were younger. She's been raising them in the ways of God. Their marriage is so good. Celebrating 30 years of marriage. I don't even know if I can last 30 years of marriage with this guy, right? But you didn't know about the 20s when they almost got divorced. When they were in their 20s, but they worked through it with Jesus Christ, and now she's flexing, and you're seeing the muscle from the suffering. You're seeing the muscle from the suffering. Girls, we need a little faith grit with that suffering. We need a little faith grit with our suffering. I have a video I want to show you, and then I'm going to wrap up this sermon, but it's an athletic video, and when I was doing my running and my training, I found this, and I was like, yes, it's a pastor. His name's Pastor Stephen Furtick, and he just kind of wrote this little spoken word, and I think it's going to inspire you. In fact, when you're cleaning, maybe you'll find it on YouTube, you know, when you're doing your exercises or whatever, but let's go ahead and watch the video.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life. I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain 1,000 lies and 1,000,000 reasons why I can't, or it won't, or it's not, or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this, I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this, I will be confident. The odds are long, the haters are loud, the pressure is on. The devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling, I got my stone, and in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this, I will be confident.
Amen. Did that stir your spirit? You needed that this morning. You needed to get a little grit in your faith. To remember, though it's tough, it's building a muscle. You won't see it tomorrow. You'll feel it, but you won't see it tomorrow. But you'll see it in the future. Girl, we got to get a little street in here sometimes. And you need to get a little fight into you and say, devil, say I won't. Say I won't make it. Say I won't praise Him. Say that my marriage won't work. And watch it happen. Watch me work that muscle. Maybe you need to get a little Madea up in the house and you need to say, I wish you would. I wish you would cross the street, because then I'll show you what the Holy Spirit can do. Maybe you need to get a little Paul the Apostle in the house and you need to say, call me stupid, call me foolish, and watch the foolish things of the world confound the wise, because he can do it. His strength, your weakness is his strength. You got this, girl. You got this, girl. Stay strong. Don't give up. Colossians 1:24. And I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm practicing in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. It might hurt for a little bit, but you're going to look back and you'll say, I remember when I couldn't run 1 mile. I remember when I couldn't run 2 miles. Then I'm running 13. You know what I did yesterday? I ran eight. Do you think I could have ran 8 in January? No. But that conquering, that building of that muscle. And the last one, number 4, is the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There needs to be a resting and a replenishing in your life. We can go and go and build, but you will surely hurt yourself and injure yourself if you don't rest and replenish. If you don't find yourself in the presence of God, if you don't sit yourself and plant yourself in the church, you will find yourself giving out and giving out and giving out. The world calls it self-care. I love the world's so funny because they take godly principles and they make them secular. And I'm just like, I'll slow clap that because I see what you did there. But really, there's a principle that's been around for thousands of years. And let's just get to the root and the truth of it. But with maturity, you start to understand when suffering or pain is building a muscle and when it's causing injury. Because with maturity, you can recognize that's not what that joint is supposed to be doing. That's actually going to injure me. There's an overuse going on. When you train for things like this, you can't run every single day. You've got to cross train. You've got to do those squats. You've got to work your core. Otherwise, you're going to injure yourself. And it's the same thing with you and your purpose with God and supplying that joint. You can't do it all the time. It's going to wear you down, and then you're going to say, God, use me, God, use me. And then in a few years, you're going to say, God, I feel so used. What happened? What happened, God? But there's a rest and a replenishing that you need to find in yourself. In Philippians, Paul was writing to them, and he said, I'm going to send my friend down to you. Oh, goodness, these names, right? Preachers avoid these verses. You've probably never heard this verse because they don't want to say the name of this guy. But Epaphroditus, back to you. He's a true brother. He's a coworker, a fellow soldier. He was your messenger to help me in need. I'm sending him to you because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have one sorrow for another after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know that you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him into Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that the people deserves. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you could not do far away. So here's a guy who is doing ministry and ministry and ministry and to the point of death. And now it's his time to rest. Rest up, bro. We're sending you to the church of Philippi. They're going to take care of you because you're going to be back into the ministry later. See, there's times where you're going to rest and there's times where you're going to train. And understand that. Don't take a back seat and say, I quit. Just rest. You know, God created the Sabbath. Right? It was part of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments was really a bill of rights for slaves at the time. God rescued the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's captivity. They were slaves, and God began to give them a bill of rights. And first it said, you'll have no other God above me, right? Okay, check. You know, thou shalt not murder. Good, because Pharaoh's homie murdered our brother, and that's why we're out here over in the desert, right? Because Moses got mad about it. And then it says, and you shall respect the Sabbath. So you're telling people who are slaves to take a day off. Amen, hallelujah. We will do that. Thank you, God, right? And the Sabbath was so important to God that it was punishable by death. Like, could you imagine being told you must rest, and if you don't, you will die? Okay, you're like, I'll take my nap, thank you. Okay, and so it was that serious to God. And although we're not living under that law right now, it's a principle we can carry into our living nowadays. It's a principle of rest. Don't mock it. Don't test it. Just rest. Find what gives you rest. It doesn't mean that you have to lay in your bed. Maybe it's hiking. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's coffee with a girlfriend. It's getting into the presence of God and getting the word into your heart. That type of stuff is going to replenish your life. It's going to build you back up so you can be, again, ready for ministry. So girls, Ephesians 4:16, you are the body of Christ. You are the joint that supplies. Did you get something out of that this morning? Yes? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.